Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Online communities can connect thousands of people, but connection on the screen does not always become a real relationship. Sometimes one meal, one hallway conversation, or one shared experience can do more for a community than months of posts, comments, and Zoom calls. By the end of this episode, you'll understand how to bring an online community together in person, designing an event that creates genuine belonging and turn a few days in the same room into relationships and collaborations that last throughout the year. We'll also explore how Rich and the Empowered Podcasting team are applying those ideas to EPC3 taking place August 21st through 23rd in Charlotte, North Carolina. Today I'm joined by Rich Perry, partner and chief marketing officer of Empowered Podcasting. Rich is the host of 10 Minute Mentor with Rich and is preparing to launch his new show, Purpose First Entrepreneur. He's also the author of Talk of the Town, a practical guide to helping entrepreneurs strengthen their marketing and business communication strategy. Now, Rich and I first met at PodFest Multimedia Expo. We also took the same flight to go to PodFest. And today we're talking about how digital communities become stronger, more connected, more valuable when people finally enter the same room. Rich, welcome to Hacks and Hobbies.
Junaid, what's going on, brother? I appreciate the introduction. I appreciate the invitation to come here and chat with you, and just blown away by all the cool stuff you're doing.
Absolutely, Rich. You know, I love technology, and, you know, playing and tweaking those things just the right way is something that I love to do. But I'm so excited to have you here because we've met multiple times over many, many years at different conferences, different events, and it's always refreshing to go to those events and hang out in person. Now, people use words audience, network, and community almost interchangeably, but we know that they are not the same at all. What is the difference between them, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, I mean, I think community is more the folks that you're interacting with on a regular basis. These are the folks that are playing a part. They're sharing ideas. There's a lot of give and take. Whereas your audience, they might just be watching from the sidelines. You know, they might just be consuming your content, but never liking, commenting, sharing, reaching out to say hello. With Empowered Podcasting, we certainly want to build the community aspect. We want those that give and take relationship. You know, having gazillions of followers out there doesn't really mean anything. Yeah, they're there, but we're not doing stuff together, you know?
Exactly. Now, when did you first experience an online relationship becoming significantly stronger after meeting in person? Because I know we're talking about, you have so many audiences, you have so many followers, but when did it happen for you?
For me, I would say it was my first interaction or my first time attending PodFest. Mm. You know, I was there. I was, my first introduction to PodFest was for the virtual summit during COVID, when we set like the Guinness Book of World Records. And, you know, I felt it in the virtual setting, but then getting to go there and meet all these like-minded people. And I was like, holy smokes, like, these are my people. Like, these are the people that I want to hang out with and interact with and build relationships with and work on projects together and things of that nature. I would say that was a defining moment for me. I think before that, I had people that I was working with locally, but I don't think I really had that strong relationship with folks in the online world until I attended PodFest for that first time and met those types of people, met my types of people, you know?
Yeah. And I felt very similar, especially for that first virtual event where my good friend Andy Wong was like, hey, you can be part of the Asian Podcasters Association and talk about studios. I was like, what? I get to speak on stage. So that was a fun little experience, you know, and getting to be part of the Guinness Book of World Record. Like, come on, you can't put that down. Talk to me, Rich. Was there a moment at PodFest or at an Empowered Podcasting event when you saw people stop behaving like contacts and start behaving like a community?
Yeah, it was that first PodFest for me. And I went, so, geez, what year was it? It was 21, I think. Mm-hmm. Regardless, 21 or 22. It was the year after
21 was the 21 was the one that was the virtual one. 22 is when they went in person.
So 22 was my first in-person mm-hmm. PodFest event. And I went there only having a few connections from the virtual event, you know, being part of the Facebook group and stuff like that. So there were mm-hmm. some folks that I was like, oh, I really want to meet this person. I hope I see them in the lobby somewhere or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was like really just going to the activities and the networking events, and people were so cool. People were so welcoming. Mm-hmm. You know, you struck up a conversation and you felt like this was your best friend and you really just met them 5 minutes prior.
Yeah.
It was that experience. I was like, holy smokes, like where has this been for the last decade of my life? Like I really wished that I had something like that interacted with something like that much sooner. And it was from that first PodFest experience that a group of us became really cool. And we ended up a couple months later booking an Airbnb in mm-hmm. Dallas, Texas. You know, our Mark was one of the people.
Yeah.
Larry Roberts was one of the folks, Chris Lewis and some other folks, Jaina. And we ended up booking an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. We stayed there for an entire week and we treated it like our own little creative retreat where wow. each of us was training each other like, oh, this is my expertise. Let me show you how I do what I do. And we just all day long was just informing each other and coaching each other and training each other on our own special skills and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this all came from just meeting these folks at yeah. PodFest, just in the hallway. And now here we are staying together in an Airbnb, continuing this pursuit of learning and growing as creators.
Dude, as you talk about this, I'm feeling FOMO. I know it happened in the but I was like, I wish I was in that room because I know all the folks that you just mentioned, right? Jaina,
Chris,
Larry Roberts, like amazing, amazing human beings. And you get to learn so much more because we think that we know everything, but we don't, right? We need other people around us. We need that community to help us elevate and get out of the slump as well.
And if I can say one more thing real quick, mm-hmm. just to emphasize the spirit of the question that you were asking.
Yeah.
We set a ground rule before we even arrived in Texas, before mm-hmm. we even arrived at the Airbnb. It was like, we are going there to help each other. No sales pitches all week long. Like none of that nonsense. It's just if you're going, you're there to help and to serve and to help the other, roommates grow in being a creator. So there was no sales pitches. And it was a cool experience of mm-hmm. just really just helping each other.
It's almost like when you go to a camping trip or you go to a hiking trip or you go to with your friends, right? You go to maybe you're going snowboarding and you're all going together. Nobody's pitching anybody. We're just learning from each other. I think that's the beautiful part of that building the community is.
Absolutely.
Now, what's cool is that this distinction matters because an event cannot manufacture the community from nothing. It has to amplify something that already exists or intentionally create the conditions for it to begin. And that's what you all did over there. So I totally love that. Now, talk to me about what happens psychologically and relationally when people who know each other online finally meet face-to-face. Because we've had that experience. It's when we met, like, hey, Junaid, it's you. And we were, like, at the Dulles airport. And, like, we're about to get on the plane for the next, for our PodFest event. That was pretty fun.
And right. If you remember, though, you and I met at the PodFest before that. Nancy and Brian introduced us
at the Luau.
That was when we really just met. We were at the Luau with the closing party or whatever that party was. It was definitely the Luau. And I remember Brian was like, hey, you got to meet Junaid real quick. And I was like, hey, what's going on? And then it was like, yeah, the following year when I found out, oh, wait. Junaid lives in DC, I think. Let me call him real quick. And you're like, dude, I'm at the airport. I think I'm on your plane. And we're like, oh, cool. Yeah. But yeah, just meeting those individuals, because you have that existing relationship in the virtual world. Mm-hmm. And then when you meet them in real life, it just makes it so much cooler and so much more enriching because you do have that shared experience together. Yeah, you might be in two different states. You might even be in two different countries. I don't know. But because you have that virtual experience together, you've seen them, you've watched their reels or listened to their podcasts or just followed their journey. And then when you're meeting, it is that continuation. You're not starting from zero.
100%. And having that struggle of being a podcaster too, right? That's a deeper connector. We've all gone through that same struggle. And when you talk to somebody else, like, oh yes, that's exactly how it is. Like lots of high schoolers can talk to each other because they're going through that same grind at the same time. It's kind of the same thing. There's a specific word, like, is it homecoming? Is it like there's a specific thing, like you're meeting your friends all over again. It's like a family reunion. That's what it was.
Sure. And like to your point, this is someone who can relate to what it is that you're doing. Like, I mean, I'm sure you know someone, Junaid. I'm sure our viewers right now know, like, you're a creator, you're a podcaster. You probably have a handful of people that just don't get it. Like, they're like, why do you do a podcast? You're not making money off it. You don't have millions of followers. Why do you do this every week? Or why do you make those reels? You only got a handful of views. And it's like, and you try and explain it.
Yeah.
And it, for some reason, it just doesn't connect with that person. And if this is someone who's important to you, it's very frustrating to try and explain it and they're not able to connect the dots, or maybe you're not able to explain it well enough, or maybe it's just something that they'll just never get. But then when you go to a PodFest or an EPC and you're like, yeah, these are my folks, these are my people, they get it. You know, it feels good.
Now, I've got a very interesting question. And, you know, this for us who's been to many events, they say that the real meetup or the real event is happening in the hallways. But for people who are coming in for the first time or the second time, I think it's in both places. So is the real event happening on the stage or in all of the moments surrounding the stage? Because even after that, you know, you're making those connections.
So how it was told to me a long time ago, and I know exactly who said it, and I remembered it, and it's something that I've like been like, yeah, that's a good way to explain it, and that's how I say it, in that the learning happens in the room, in the presentation room, but the magic happens in the hallways, you know? Because, yeah, in the presentation room, that's the person you came to hear and learn from, but the opportunities to be on someone's podcast or to start a business together or write a book together or something like that. That's only going to happen in the hallways. That's only going to happen when you're just being real with somebody and you're just having that one-to-one connection and building that one-to-one relationship. Yeah, I love just hanging out in the hallways and seeing who you're going to meet and just bumping into people. There's tons of times when I'm like, oh, I need to go to this presentation, this one, and I don't make any of them because I was in the hall chatting people up. Oh, let's shoot a reel together. Okay, cool. Oh, this is someone you have to meet. Oh, okay, cool. Oh, I was supposed to go to that presentation that started 20 minutes ago. Guess I'm not making it. But opportunities came up, you know? It wasn't like we were like BSing. It was real opportunity that wasn't going to happen any other way.
Exactly. You're absolutely right on there, Rich. Now, this is a question that's coming up for me. And this is about designing that event that creates belonging, right? So talk to me about what separates a community building event from a conference where people simply sit, listen, and leave, right? They're coming in and they're now building those connections, because the reason why people might be in specific talk is because they want to learn what they're missing and that talk is teaching. So if you're sitting next to somebody who's listening to the same talk, maybe there's a collaboration there. So talk to me about how your team is designing these teams so that people don't just simply sit, listen, leave.
Yeah, I know that sometimes attending conferences can feel, not all the time, but I mean, there's a lot of conferences where there's the speakers, the hired professionals, and then there's the attendees. And you're either on the A-list or you paid to be there kind of thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We don't want that at Empowered Podcasting. We want to make sure that we're bringing in the best and the brightest talents of speakers, the best pool of speakers. But we also want them and encourage them, hey, when you're not speaking, attend the other lectures, sit in with the crowd, sit in with the other attendees, and let them know that you're there to learn too and build and so that they can see you also being a learner. Also too, there are going to be a lot of people that are just straight up attending. However, to answer your question again, we want to give them a reason to belong. We want to give them a way to participate. And that's why we have things like the workshops. We've got an interactive journal, which you remember from last year and the year before. Mm-hmm. We also have a couple other activities and things like that, you know, in the evening and, you know, in the middle of the day, because we want all the attendees to feel welcome. We want them to feel like they're part of the conversation. Yeah, maybe this year you just are attending. However, you can still contribute, and we want to empower you to feel like you can contribute. It's not an us or them or the A-list and everyone else. It's we're all here together. We're all going to grow. And we want you to feel like you belong and that, you know, this is your space to be.
100%. Thank you, Rich. I really appreciate that. Getting the speakers, and I've done this too. I've sat in other events where our other speaker talks because I want to learn. I want to connect with them on their level, on, you know, or get up to their level, because I don't know everything. I only know a teeny bit about home studios, but everything else I'm learning from others. So sitting in those chairs with other folks as they're learning, it's really powerful. Now, something that happens at these events, and throwing a little bit of high school, is we start having cliques, right? Because people have been coming to the event for a while and they form these cliques. So how do you stop cliques from forming so that you're more inclusive to literally everybody that's coming to the show?
Yeah. So, and Mark tells this really great story. One of the things that we do as staff members will be walking around. We want to be visible, you know. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, our conference is small enough so that, yeah, we are working, staff, I mean, yeah, we are working, mm-hmm. but we're able to walk around and meet people and shake hands and introduce ourselves in those meetings, in those conversations. We're asking them, hey, is this your first time? You know, what do you think about this event? And yeah. the one story Mark has is last year there was a gentleman who I think he missed the first day, mm-hmm. came maybe late the second day. Something happened where he missed a part of the conference. But when he did show up, people already had their friends. They already had their yeah. buddies. And he kind of yeah. felt like he was on the outside. But because Mark was walking around and shaking hands, introducing himself, how you doing, asking those probing questions, he was able to learn that this guy felt out of place. Mm-hmm. And Mark just went up to a bunch of people, like, you know, yeah. the vets that have been there. They're part of the active community. And it was like, hey, you got to go talk to this guy. Go meet this guy. He's pretty cool. Blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Mark tells that an hour later, 2 hours yeah. later, he checked in with this dude and he was having a blast.
Yes.
And that's something that we, because our event is a little bit more intimate, mm-hmm. we're able to do that and take an active role in making sure people feel welcome, so that if we do see somebody, you know, holding up the wall that we've gone over to say, hey, you know, do you just need space for the moment, or do you feel like you're being left out? And if that's exactly. the case, come on over to this group of people yeah. because they're people that you want to talk to.
Man, that's so good. And it's a perfect segue into how do you make first-time attendees feel included within those first few hours. And I love how prior to the event starting, the night before, there's a whole breakout session so you can meet other people. There's, you know, refreshments and whatnot. And that's what he might have missed, right? He's like, how do I find the people? And then because, like you mentioned, the event is so small, the event is so intimate, we're able to see, hey, who's not feeling welcome? Let's welcome them. And I remember that incident as well. I was like, let me go talk to him. Let me connect him with some other people as I was running around managing cameras and whatnot.
You were a busy beaver that day, man. Just in this room, doing the video and making sure the mics had their batteries.
The batteries.
Troubleshooting.
Oh, my God.
Holy moly.
It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I love to serve. You know, that's what I love to do. And wanted to make sure that because – from that first year event, I know there was barely any recording, and I was like, I wasn't sure. So I offered, hey, can I bring in my expertise? Can I bring some of this gear and put this together? So I was really, I felt like I did what I love to do, right? And that's what helped me feel part of the team as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, we couldn't have done it without you. I mean, people just like you, Junaid, stepping up to say, hey, I want to contribute. I have a skill or a talent or a mm-hmm. thing that I can offer that will improve the quality of the event. And we greatly appreciate it because we are still new, you know. Mm-hmm. For folks that are unaware of Empowered Podcasting and its origins, I mean, this is going into our third year. Yeah. And it's only after the second year, like the first 2 years, it really operated kind of as a passion project mm-hmm. of Mark. It operated under his Ironic Media umbrella. You know, he just had volunteers helping, yeah. and there really wasn't an active team, so to say, but it was during, you know, prepping for year two and then afterward that Jason and I stepped up, like, hey man, we want to have some skin in the game. Let's make this legit. Let's make this a real thing.
Yeah,
but we're still in our infancy. We're still mm-hmm. small kids, you know, like, yeah. I mean, we don't have this huge budget. So when good people like yourself step up to say, hey, I recognize this gap. I can fill this. It just makes the conference better.
Yeah.
Because it's just not something we can do at the moment.
Exactly.
There's only three of us officially. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Now, Rich, you've written extensively about communication. Even the best design event will struggle if attendees do not know how to start useful conversations. So your book, Talk of the Town, helps entrepreneurs improve their marketing and business communication. How should someone communicate at a live event if they want to be memorable without making every conversation a pitch?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, there's even a chapter in there for when you're going to networking events and conferences. You know, it could be your a small chamber event from, you know, your town, USA, to you're traveling to a PodFest or an EPC or something like that. I really encourage people to just walk up to someone like you were taught in kids school.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, you know, my name is, what do you do? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, you know, you obviously want to come a little bit more professional. However, just having that genuine conversation, that genuine, you know, valid business reason to walk up to someone and just have a conversation and seeing where it goes. You might find, hey, we really have something in common. And a 5-minute conversation turns into a 2-hour ordeal. Or maybe you're like, hey, you know what? It was great to meet you. And yeah. I'm just going to keep it moving and see who else I meet. That's what I do. I just walk up to people and just have a conversation like two normal folks.
Absolutely. Now, I love that being open to going and asking questions. I think sometimes it's harder, but knowing that we're all podcasters, we're all going through the same journey, makes it a little bit easier because you kind of had that back built-in experience of what it takes to run a podcast. So maybe you haven't figured something out or you figure something out and you can share it with others. How should introverts approach an event without trying to become someone they're not?
That's a good question. How can introverts, as podcasters, especially if you're podcast is an interview-based podcast. So if your show is like mine, where you're just like kind of, it's like an educational podcast and you're just teaching a lesson each, it's different, you know. But as an interview-based podcast, like what you're doing, you're just asking questions. And that's one of the tips that I gave my interns this year, because they're younger college kids. They're going into networking events for the first time. Young 20-year-old kid. They're seeing, like, you know, grown adults and stuff. I said, hey, rather than trying to be interesting, be interested and just ask a couple really good questions. People love, and this is something that Dale Carnegie talks about in How to Win Friends and Influence People. People love to hear themselves talk. They love to just prattle on, you know, go on and on about whatever it is that they know. And by just having a couple really good, solid questions in your back pocket, you walk up to a, you know, group of people or just one person. Tell me about your show. You know, what do you love about your show? Or and then follow it up with like maybe a why question. You're doing less of the work, but you're still participating in that conversation. You don't have to be interesting. You don't have to be flashy and over the top. You're just asking a couple really good questions.
Yeah.
For someone who's super duper shy, maybe just walking up to a group of people and saying, hey, you know what? I'm new here and I would love to just hang out in this conversation and listen to you all. Is that cool? You know, I guarantee you're not going to, no, you can't hang. No, get lost. Scram, kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not high schoolers. Yeah, come on in. Hang out. Just, you know, when you feel comfortable, chime in.
I agree. That's so true. And inviting people in and having that open mindset, I think, is so important, because there's never a dumb question. Maybe just dumb answers. I don't know how that goes. But So
remember what they say in kids' school? The only stupid question is the one that's not asked, right?
The one that's not asked. That's right. That's
they used right. to be on the chalkboard above the ABCs.
That's so true. Now there's so much happening. I'm so excited. We're almost, holy smokes, how many weeks do we have left? Five
Dude,
weeks.
Dude, I think, yeah. Isn't it? Well, it's the
16th.
Yeah,
it's starting on the 20th. Today. So yeah, it is literally a month away.
Yeah.
So this time flown really fast, and I'm glad that I got to talk to you guys before the event so we can get some more people out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
some
it.
Questions that I have for, especially for people who are trying to organize their events. I've been thinking of organizing some local events. Talk mm-hmm. to me about what your organizers do before the event to help relationships form earlier.
As far as with the general population or specific groups,
I would say specific groups rather than general population because it's a lot easier, I guess. That way?
Okay. So for the, let's say, the segment of speakers, which we have a bunch of speakers this year, Jason has done a really good job with having regular speaker calls and having it be, okay, there's, you know, an agenda in the beginning, but then an opportunity for the speakers to, you know, interact with each other. We do have that Facebook group that we encourage people to get in, meet people beforehand. That way you've already, you know, you already have an established relationship or at least familiarity with your fellow attendees. I'm about ready to start the, this year we launched the Creator Partner Program, which is a sponsorship tier.
Yeah.
I'm about ready to launch the mastermind calls for those creator partners so that they can start interacting with each other, sharing nice. Ideas, what's working well, what can they do to better prepare for being at the conference and then in the closing weeks leading up to it. What another thing that we've also been doing is we have that the weekly Empowered Podcasting
live
show. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we wanted to do is rather than just the three of us, you know, yammer on every week, we've been introducing different speakers. We've been introducing sponsors and things like that to help the attendees get to know these folks beforehand. We've been encouraging conversation in the chat thread to, you know, get people excited and interested and start those conversations. So those are some of the things that we've been doing
nice
leading up to the main event so that as soon as people land, as soon as they put their bags down, they already feel like, yeah, I'm already here. I've already got my friends and, you know, I've already started conversations. Now we're just continuing the conversation
exactly.
At the event.
I love it, man. I love it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So y'all listening, if you haven't picked up a ticket, please go pick up a ticket. The event is happening August 21st through the 23rd. And so that brings us to EPC3 because Empowered Podcasting is not only organizing a conference, it is a building a year-round community with the conference as its largest shared gathering. And we're literally having these virtual events, like you mentioned, the live streams, as well as the daily podcast with Podcasting Morning Show, which is essentially where EPC originated from.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Mark does his daily show. It, you know, it started on Clubhouse, and it was just a way to gather people in real life, and that's where EPC came from.
Yeah. So EPC3 is taking place in August 21st through the 23rd in Charlotte, North Carolina. What are you and the team designing for attendees this year?
Well, we've got more speakers than before. So last year it was a day and a half. So it started off 2 years ago with one full day. Last year was a day and a half. This year is two full days. We've got the workshops as we normally do, you know, that Friday morning. So you can already start learning and then implementing or at least planning to implement once you've returned.
Yeah.
One new thing that we've got this year is our author meetup. And that was inspired by one of the many activities at PodFest, a way to spotlight some other folks. You know, you don't even have to have been, or you don't have to be one of the speakers or sponsors. If you're an author and you're going to be there, come on over, bring your books, and you too can have some spotlight and talk about what it is that you wrote. And what else? We've got, you know, each night we've got a networking a mixer kind of thing just to keep the conversations going. So you've been sitting all day learning. Now it's time to unwind and have some enjoyable conversations with the folks that you met.
Nice. Very cool, man. Talk to me about who will get the most value from EBC3 and who might not be ready for this type of event. Drish, talk to me about who will get the most value from EBC3 and who might be not be ready for this type of event yet.
I mean, I would like to think that the folks that are going to get the most are folks that they've already got their podcast, or maybe they're just about ready to launch and they're looking for those last couple things. What do I really need to make sure this launch is a success? But if you're someone that you've already got a podcast and you're looking for ways to grow that podcast, whether that's, you know, growing it as far as your audience, or you're looking for ways to monetize, or you're looking for ways to be, you know, more efficient or make it look more professional, things of that nature, then those are the types of folks that are really going to benefit, because a lot of our presenters are talking about those types of things. You know, this year we brought in three pillars that define Empower Podcasting, and that's you know, growth, monetization, and community. So we really want to focus on those areas to help podcasters and creators.
I love it, Rich. That's so powerful. Having those pillars, having those defined themes really helps the attendee get a feel of, hey, this is what I'm going to get out of it, and I can totally implement it into my solution, into what I'm building. Before we close up, what is the first question someone should answer before deciding to host their own in-person event for their community?
Ooh, what is the first question? I would encourage someone to understand who it is that they're trying to, you know, bring in to the event. It's a much easier lift to do something locally. Like if you're trying to have some kind of a community event, you know, that might be a great place to start. You know, doing maybe like, you know, meetups and things like that. Because once you start doing a bigger event, when you're expecting people to travel, I think there's a lot more gears that need to be working. And if you're going to be doing it on your own, maybe start locally, maybe start with a small pop-up, a small meetup, something like that. And then just start bringing people in, you know, hey, I'm doing this event. I've got this thing going on. I want you to show up and start giving them reasons and what they're going to get out of being there, why it would be of interest to them.
Man, I love it. Thank you so much, Rich. Give us some essential details for EBC3 and the best place for listeners to get their tickets right now.
Absolutely. Go to empoweredpodcasting.com. As we were talking about, the event itself is happening August 21st to the 23rd. However, I do encourage you, especially if you're traveling, like I'm traveling, you're traveling, I'm sure many listeners are traveling, get there the day early. You never know what's going to happen. There might be travel delays. Like last year, I was flying in from where I live in Pennsylvania, and we got hit with a huge rainstorm. Mm. Thankfully, I was traveling the day before, and you know, I didn't miss anything. Yeah. Get there early. Have a plan of the attendee of the presentations that you want to check out. Also, be flexible because maybe something else is going to come up.
Exactly.
But yeah, you can get your tickets at empoweredpodcasting.com. And if you're looking to connect with these folks beforehand, find us on social media. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And, you know, we'd be happy to arrange some introductions for you.
Perfect. Rich, thank you so much. And we mentioned that you're a host of multiple podcasts. Where can listeners find the 10-Minute Mentor with Rich or your upcoming Purpose First Entrepreneur Show?
Yeah. As well as your book. Go to richperry.com. And that's where I've got a page dedicated to the 10-Minute Mentor Show. You can check out all the episodes there. Yeah, it's on all the streaming sites and stuff like that. Perfect. But if you're going to listen, you might as well just go to the website, easy to find, richperry.com. And yeah, if you want a copy of the book, you can download it for free on my website. And if you're going to be at empoweredpodcasting.com, I will have a stack of them. And I'll be giving them out to some good folks that I meet.
There you go, Rich. Well, thank you so much for this conversation and for helping build a podcasting community where connection does not stop when the live stream ends. And guys, for you listening, appreciate you, Rich, coming on. This was a lot of fun, man. Appreciate it again.
Yeah, brother. Thank you for the invite, for, you know, the great conversation. I appreciate it. I'm excited to see you two times in 1 year now. Next, you know, we'll have to do it again.
That's
right. But yeah, thank you. And, you know, check out Empowered Podcast and we'll see you there. And to your daughter, I hope she gets some chocolate chip cookies. And
I know, right? Go get some chocolate chips now. And guys, for everyone listening to the episode, an audience may hear your message, but a community carries it forward. Give people a reason to gather, create space for them to contribute, and build a system that keeps those relationships alive after everyone goes home. We'd love to see you in Charlotte for Empowered Podcasting Conference 3, August 21st through the 23rd. Make sure you get there a day before so you can hang out. Guys, keep showing up, keep strengthening your community, and keep turning your passions into purpose. I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, Rich.
All right, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.